everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Decision Hour. I am your host, Adam Bird. Excited to be here today because I got a great interview lined up for y'all. Met this young lady, quite a while ago, actually. Last year. We were at an event. I'm walking around and she shoulder shrugs and she's like, "Hey." I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me." And she's like, "No, I want to talk to you." And I was like, what did I do?" And she's like, she drags me over to the booth. She had a booth there. She was with the company she was with. And next thing, we just kind of hit it off. Cool gal. Follow her on her social media platforms and whatnot. She's a keynote speaker. And she talks about teen mental health. She talks about anxiety. And she's also an author. And a book called Lies My Anxiety Has Told Me. And I thought it was just really cool. And she's such a down-to-earth person, so I'm excited to have her on. My friend, Brittany Richmond. Brittany, what's happening?
What's up? And that is not how that happened. I'm pretty sure I was the one that got shoulder shrugged.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. We had a blast though. It's like I've had so much fun when we talk offline and whatnot. And that was such a cool event, and I never forgot because you gave me a book while we were there. But let's dive into it. Tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm super awkward talking about myself, so that's a thing. As Adam said, I'm Brittany Richmond. I am a teen mental health speaker. I'm an anxiety expert and best-selling author.
Yes.
Let's go. Wild. Absolutely wild. I'm very fortunate to do what I do. I get to travel the country and speak to a lot of high school, some college, but mostly high school student groups like FFA, 4-H, Student Council, Teen Institutes, larger student conferences. And I do get invited to go to schools from there. So I do schools also from time to time. But I speak on becoming an overcomer, the steps, to overcoming and managing anxiety and sharing my story. And I guess I should back up. I was a counselor for many years.
Okay.
That's what I went into. And I went into the field of counseling and psychology because of my own battles with anxiety when I was a teenager. So I wanted to help teenagers with, what I was struggling with at the time. But about being a licensed mental health professional, you can't talk about your own struggles with mental health. So that's a thing. And I wanted to. So a few years back, I remember thinking there's got to be a better way to help more teenagers at one time and be able to share my story, and make that connection and build those relationships, which I think builds a lot of trust. And with that comes transformation and impact and influence. So I literally Googled how to be a public speaker, and then I started working with this organization called the Speaker Lab to work with them and coach with them. And I get to do both. So it's fabulous.
That's so cool. So anxiety, I want to back up on the anxiety. Can you share a snippet of your history with anxiety and how it transformed more into relating with kids nowadays?
Wow. So I heard Rory Vaden. He's an amazing CEO and founder of this organization called Brand Builders. And he says that we are most powerfully positioned to serve the person that we once were. So with that, who I was when I needed my message was the 15, 16, 17 year old, and being able to relate to them today, having their energy and really, because I truly believe, I'm gonna be 38. All right. So I'm not much older than them. Okay. I'm just saying I'm not much older, but I tell them the only difference between me and you is I pay my own bills. That's really the only difference. So I don't know. I'm not saying I'm 16, but I definitely think age is just a number, friends. Okay. But I use their language. I talk like them. But that's me anyway.
Right.
I'm awkward. I can be loud. I can be a little immature, but can't we all? I just lean into that. So I'm able to relate to them. And I believe that when you tell stories and bring these heavy topics down to their level and in their language, then you can create that connection that they're really craving. So I really do think they crave connection. They really want people to understand how they feel. They want to talk about mental health. They want to feel seen and heard. And if I can do that, that's really what I want to do.
So what And before we get any deeper, those that are listening, where can they follow you? Where can they find you? Where can they purchase the book?
Yeah. So Amazon, obviously, but you can go to my website, brittanyrichmond.com. Super simple. It's on there as well. And that's also where people can connect with me if they're interested to bring me in to speak. But I mean, you know, I'm all over Instagram. Instagram is my favorite platform. I am on LinkedIn, but that's lame. Like, I prefer Instagram. So Instagram all day, friends. It's the Brittany Richmond. Not that I'm anything special, but Brittany Richmond was taken and I couldn't get it from her. So she had it first. So take it.
So if you're listening to the show, that means you're already on the internet. So just open up another browser and go to BrittanyRichmond.com. And get the book. Like, let's, you know, seriously. I mean, we're going to be here for a little bit, so we're going to give you time to go ahead and do that now. Thank you. While you're listening to the show. Brittany, what causes anxiety, or what do you see causes anxiety the most in, like, the younger generations? I mean, I'm old. I don't know why you're laughing. You literally, she like muted her mic. She's like, she walked away for a minute, people. And she's like,
that is untrue. That is untrue.
I am seasoned. I like to say I'm seasoned. But I remember my anxiety. There was times, you know, being a military guy. So there was that anxiety coming home and dealing with like PTSD and stuff like that. But I don't remember a whole lot when I was younger. But the things that I do come to me in like snippets, like an old movie reel. Right. Mm-hmm. And some of the anxiety was just like, not like being good enough or feeling good enough or intimidated by whatever was going on at that time. But what do you see happening today?
So when I start talking with teenagers, and I think the listeners should understand too, that anxiety in and of itself is a normal emotion, right? It should absolutely. So oftentimes I think that younger people, because their brains aren't fully capable of really kind of seeing big picture, you know, that part of the brain isn't fully developed till we're 25, right? So it's like, how can I help them see big picture and understand the difference between normal anxiety and when it becomes an issue, right? So right. I mean, I like to use the analogy of being chased by a bear. If you're being chased by a bear, right? Like, that's a fight or flight response. You're going to run. Yeah. That's some anxiety is meant to protect us, you know, and help us run away from danger. But, you know, if you're having anxiety from an email that pops up, I mean, there's no imminent threat with that, you know? So how we experience anxiety has just changed over the years, but because of our society. But oftentimes I tell kids, like, if it lingers for multiple days, if it interferes with your ability to do normal things that you would normally do, like go to school, go to work, get dressed, take care of your personal hygiene. I mean, there's a lot of different behavior changes are like the biggest indicators for mental or emotional health struggles, right? Behavior changes that are typically just atypical. They're not normal. But I also want to go on record and say that I'm not in the capacity of a counselor anymore. So I'm not here to diagnose people. I'm not here to do anything. I highly recommend that if you or if someone you know is struggling, that you seek professional help. I think it's extremely beneficial to do that. So, but yeah, I like to let them know that anxiety is normal. But as far as what causes young people a lot of anxiety today is, I mean, we could blame social media, but I think that's just one variable. There's a lot of in place, but a lot of it comes down to when I talk to these teenagers is they don't feel good enough, right? They're struggling to fit in, or they feel like they're failing, and they feel like expectations are heavy on them. And those expectations and peer pressures and societal pressures can come from social media. Maybe they're experiencing it more so than we did, but we still experienced those things, right?
Yeah, right.
Whether they were perceived or reality, right? Like whether we really thought they were happening, but I think just helping them. So my whole goal is to help them learn to start to have those conversations about how they're feeling. I think that that's something I see with young people is they want to talk about mental health. They want to talk about it so badly, but they just don't know how to talk about it. They almost have this, they should just know how I'm feeling. Like, how come you don't understand how I'm feeling? So kind of getting away from that mental narrative and into like accountability and ownership and learning to identify triggers and talk about how you feel, I think is much more powerful.
Do you think that there is a, and this is like legitimate question, do you think that there is a fear of, if I say something about my mental health, I'm going to get judged in a negative light?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think the reasons we don't talk about how we feel mentally or emotionally is because we think no one will understand us. So what's the point?
Yeah.
I don't want people to judge me or think that I'm weak, or I don't want to burden people with my problems, all of which are lies, right? I think that anxiety stems from a lot of negative self-talk, which is, you know, negative self-talk knows exactly what to say to get to us, right? And before we know it, we're 100% convinced that everything it has to say is true, but it is a lie. And then the goal of mental and emotional health struggles is isolation. Isolation is where these things thrive, right? They want mentally isolate you. Like, right. And again, saying things to you in your head, like, no one will understand me, they're going to judge me, that's just more isolation. So now, not only have these struggles convinced you that, you know, of all this negative self-talk, you're not good enough, no self-worth, no value, nobody loves you, insert negative self-talk, it has now convinced you that talking to someone serves no purpose.
Right.
So it is just more isolation. Yeah. So
I get that. I think some of this is those that are listening, and we got kind of an older crowd, older. Sorry, everybody listen, more seasoned.
I like how you have seasoned to say, people.
Like more seasoned people, maybe, that listen. And I got a lot of military people here. And I think this kind of falls in line with a lot of the things that we as you know, when you're in the military. My era was very much like you, like nobody wants to hear it. Just, right. You know, put it in the back of your mind in that closet, you know, with empty space, and just lace up your boots, drive on, suck it up. And then when you leave the military, it's like, oh, well, you could do this or just take these meds or whatever to fix that anxiety or fix whatever is bothering you. And, you know, for me personally, when I started, because I had anxiety and stress, and I was diagnosed in my early 20s with pericarditis because my anxiety got so bad. And for those that don't know, pericarditis, you have a sac around your heart, mm-hmm. and it would get inflamed. So when my heart would beat, it would rub up against the sac because the sac was inflamed. And it feels like you're having a heart attack, and it's very painful. Mm-hmm. And I had to deal with, okay, how do you overcome the anxiety of this? And they wanted to put me on meds. I don't do good on meds. Like I'm one of those guys that I'm paranoid, like, oh, they're just trying to kill me, blah, 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 blah. Like, and that's a whole nother anxiety in and of itself.
Right.
So you have to learn to like deep breathing exercises or find something like, you know, whatever it is that you do, find your chi or whatever they're calling it nowadays, whatever, just find whatever works for you. And for me, I'm an outdoors guy. So hunting, fishing, you know, that kind of thing, just being outdoors, doing something, calmed me down. And it took away that anxiety. Why am I saying all of this on a soapbox? I'm saying this because those of you that are suffering from anxiety, you know, get help. And if more importantly, find something that works for you. I started with deep breathing exercises, and you'd be surprised like how far that actually goes, because a lot of the times you're worrying about something, or sometimes the anxiety you get, let's say if it you're worried, oh, I got bills and I'm getting anxiety, and if you feel like you get the snowball effect, chances are you're thinking about stuff that or worrying about something that it is really just wasting your time eventually, and it doesn't come to fruition. So don't stress about it. Just relax, breathe, enjoy life, because you only get it once.
I know. That's wild. I want to go back to two things that you said. Well, of three things, essentially. You said you have to find what works for you. So when I work with teenagers, like, I very much lean into how you experience anxiety and how I experience anxiety or any sort of mental health struggle is going to be different.
Yeah.
Ergo, how we cope with it is probably going to be different.
Yeah.
So I am someone that if one more person tells me to do deep breathing, I'm going to lose my mind. Yeah. Like, it's just like, yeah. Don't tell me things that don't work for me. Right. Like, I just breathe. Right. I'm going to throw this mic at your face. Like, that's going to make me feel better. Right. Like, that is not so, but for you. I mean, listen, I've been told it so many times. And I'm like,
you need to calm down. Just take a deep breath. I'm going to punch you in the throat.
I know. But like, listen, okay. So it's all about essentially finding what works for you. But you said, you know, you're a big outdoors guy. Well, same. Like that is your version of grounding. That's what grounding is for you.
Right.
Like hunting and fishing and being outdoors. There are so many, like, did you know, just a sidebar, that when we walk barefoot outside, the molecular energy of our body actually changes. Like we make contact with the ground.
Yes.
Wild to me. Absolutely wild. But so for me, like water is very grounding. Like water is like the most grounding thing for me. I'll be in the oceans, the rivers, the pools, the tubs, whatever. Like water is super grounding, but it's trial and error with those things. So what I often tell people, I'm like, find things that you enjoy, especially for people that don't know like what grounds them, right? Like find things that you enjoy, try it as long as it's healthy and serves you. Cause there are things out there that people like that are not healthy and don't serve you, right? Like they're just not healthy and don't serve you. But, you know, act on those things and then assess whether it's working for you and then adjust if needed. So I call it act, assess, adjust. Oh, so like take action, assess how it's working for you, and then adjust it if needed, right? Adjust if needed. So, because a lot of times people will say things to you like, I like to work out. Well, not everybody likes to work out. So like, what does that look like for you? You know, so, but how do you know you don't like to? You have to try it, assess whether it's working for you mentally or emotionally, and then adjust if needed. So I think that's really, it's a powerful thing because then that's ownership too. Yeah. So it's not only being able to identify, but I'm going to find the things that work for me. Now, I want to go back to the things you said about meds. And this is just the gospel according to Brittany Richmond. Okay, people, so don't come for me. But I believe that meds are a bridge unless you have severe psychiatric abnormal psychology, mental health illness. Okay. And you're being monitored by medical professionals. That's different. But like for anxiety meds and things like that, I believe they're a bridge. They're not the solution because a lot of times I see young people being put on meds, but no counseling. Right. So there it's a combination, you know, with things like cognitive behavioral therapy. It's so much more beneficial to be on the medication while you're going through and learning all this stuff and then slowly back off the meds once you've built up the resilience and the coping skills, right? Like that's the whole idea of meds, in my opinion, is to bridge the gap while you're learning how to overcome it mentally and emotionally.
100% agree with you on that. And I'm so glad you made that statement and clarified that because it's like, I'm not against people being on meds, but I'm against people being on meds if, here, I'm just giving you meds so that person can be on meds. You'll be fine after that. Yeah, but I'm not, you know, and it gives me anxiety just thinking about it, quite frankly. It's just like, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's why both exist in my opinion is you gotta do the work though too, but because you don't want to be on meds forever. That's not a thing. Again, unless this is something long-term, severe, you know, like, but with things like anxiety, I do truly believe that, like, I used to be on meds. I'm not on them anymore. I have meds for, like, emergency purposes. And I want to be clear as to what that looks like. That's when, like, you know, you're in the throes of it. Because I feel like a lot of people don't realize that you can't cure these things, right? You can't cure these things. We only manage and live with them. Right. But that doesn't mean there's not bad days. Just like with PTSD and other things that people, I mean, you're going to have weeks, days, months where you're fabulous. And then all of a sudden triggers come that you maybe didn't realize were triggers or, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like a spiral, but it may be a temporary spiral, but that doesn't mean you got to live there and suffer there.
Right. I think this is such an important topic, and I'm glad that you were able to make time for me today on this because it is a big topic. But I got one more question for you before we let you go. You're on a show called The Decision Hour.
Hi.
We make decisions every day.
Yeah.
So name a time in your life where your feet are on the line and you have to make that decision. What is it? And what's the atmosphere like at the time?
So for me, it was definitely choosing my hard, you know, because I think that when I was young and definitely in the throes, like the severe suffering from the anxiety and the depression, I mean, we all have choices. And I think that is part of the ownership and accountability also is realizing that you have a choice. But it was either live in this space of angst and worry and stress and anxiety and depression, which is hard to do. Okay. It's hard to live in that space, or do the work to get better, which is also hard to do. So there were, it was just a matter of making the decision of choosing which heart I wanted to lean into. And I think that there, that was probably one of the biggest decisions in terms of making decisions, is choosing your heart. So that's what I would challenge your listeners with today is, you know, whatever's going on right now, you have a choice. You can live in that space or you can work to get out of it. And both are difficult to do. So it's just a matter of choosing which heart you want to lean into.
I freaking love that. Choosing your heart. That's so, I lied. I do have one more question now that I think about it. Because I wanted to bring up the book. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the book.
Sure.
Did you just wake up one morning and you're just like, you know what? I'm going to write a book.
So, kind of. I had no desire to write a book. I mean, it never crossed my mind, I guess I'd say. I never was like, one day I'm going to write a book. You know, even as a speaker, a lot of speakers have books, right? Right. And I was like, not really interested in scaling that way. But I'm not even kidding. I was just in my house and the Lord put it on my heart. And I literally walked to my office and wrote the outline for the book that moment. Like, it was wild. And then a few months later, I signed on with a publisher, and here we are. So he did the same thing. And I don't know how many of your listeners are men or women of faith, but I listen when the Lord speaks to me. Yes. And he did the same thing about speaking too. I was literally, and he brought my whole keynote to me a few years back, and I literally wrote it all out and I deliver it today. So I just trust his timing on things. So it was just
funny how that works out, isn't it?
So funny.
I tell people, and the listeners know that, you know, I can almost remember, I was like 37, 38 years old. And I was like, man, I was like, I really want to listen to God. And I've always grown up, you know, I went to church and I've always believed in God. Didn't always follow those rules, but I've always, you know, I'm a sinner. Get it. I've said it before. But when I was 37, I realized that gut feeling, okay, that's God. That's how God communicates with me, was getting the gut feeling. And then I started thinking back on all of the times where I either asked for something, mm-hmm, or wanted something, and my gut was like, no, don't do that. And then I did it anyway. And then like a couple months later, like if it was a relationship, oh, I really want this relationship to work. And then like 3 weeks later, you're like, why, God? Why am I in this relationship? Like, get it out of here. And then it was like, no, you wanted it. So now you're going to learn something from it. But it was, once I finally clicked, I've joked around about this, but it's true. I was kind of a late bloomer when it came to like education, and my mentality was like, a D will get you a degree through college, whatever. So it was like, oh, that gut feeling, I get that now. That's how God communicates with me. And I think that's great. So thank you for sharing that, because it's very important. So appreciate it.
Yeah, it's wild. The wild what we do, right? You ever look back and you're like, how did I get here? Yeah. Like, this is wild. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Oh yeah. It's like, I'm here still. Okay.
I know.
Like, I woke up this morning, I was like, yes.
I know, right?
Yes. I got another day. Whew. Oh, that's awesome. All right, listeners, listen. If you're listening to this, we're starting to get into some shenanigans here. But open up another browser. If you haven't done so already, it's BrittanyRichmond.com. BrittanyRichmond.com. Follow her on her social platforms. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Brittany, it's always a pleasure to see you, chat with you.
Friend.
I very much appreciate you. And thank you for everything that you do.
Same. I appreciate you, and thank you for your service and everything you've done. And I'm grateful that our paths have crossed.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Folks, that's all the time that we got. Before we let you go, make sure we'll have all of Brittany's information in the show notes below. Also, go check out our parent network, Heroes Media Group. Go check out all the new shows and new podcast shows coming out. Plus, we got some new articles and we got some new hires that are coming on board. So stay tuned for that. Plus, we got an event page that's going to be coming out here soon so you can see where we're going to be the rest of this year. Until next time, you've been listening to The Decision Hour.